Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
We've qualified for the World Cup. Go and compete.
Hello and welcome to Let Me Tell You from the Irish Examiner. In this podcast, we are looking at some of the most dramatic events in recent Irish political history from the unique perspective of one of the key players. Today, we look back at the furore surrounding the FAI set off by the revelation that CEO John Delaney provided a €100,000 loan to the association in 2017. The loan was first revealed by the Sunday Times in March 2019, and Delaney sought and failed to get an injunction preventing its publication. Delaney said the loan was for a very short-term cash flow issue, but Sport Ireland were amongst those who demanded greater explanation. After much wrangling, Delaney and members of the FAI agreed to appear before the Oireachtas Sports Committee, but even then, that would only be the beginning of the fireworks. To discuss with us her appearance that day is Kildare North TD and Social Democrats co-leader Catherine Murphy. Before we begin, Catherine, we have a short clip to kind of set the scene, but thanks for being with us today.
Delighted to be with you, and it's certainly something I have a good memory of. Was the most unusual event, the appearance at the Oireachtas Committee.
It's just over 2 weeks since the revelation that FAI boss John Delaney lent the organisation €100,000. He said it was a bridging loan given in April 2017 to aid a very short-term cash flow issue, and that it was repaid in full to him in June of that year. It was also reported that the FAI paid John Delaney up to €3,000 a month in rent for his home in Wicklow. More questions were raised when the association made another announcement within an hour of Ireland's 1-0 win in Gibraltar. It revealed that John Delaney was stepping down as CEO with immediate effect and taking up the newly created role of Executive Vice President. The decision, it said, had been taken following a recent review of its senior management structure. Tomorrow, Sport Ireland will appear before the Oireachtas Committee on Transport, Tourism and Sport to discuss its funding of the FAI.
So this story largely starts the month before John Delaney's appearance, with Mark Tighe's revelations in the Sunday Times about this €100,000 loan. But you said, you were quoted in the days after saying you weren't surprised that Irish football was kind of in this state at the time.
Yeah, I mean, this goes quite a bit back with the Transport, Tourism and Sport Committee, and in fact we had the three big associations in January 2017. I was looking to have for us to discuss the issue of governance with them, because you might remember there was the whole Pat Hickey affair in 2016, and I think there was a very obvious problem with the Football Association of Ireland going way back, and you know, things like, for example, not having you know, the way the AGM was handled was a bone of contention. Not every year, you know, the way the accounts were produced, the you know, journalists used to have to submit the questions in advance. It was very much a choreographed affair. Then I looked in 2018, I looked for them to come in to the committee so that we would, because there'd been a number of things happened between that were very unsatisfactory and continued to cause concern, including how the women's football was treated.
This was the strike issue.
That was 2017. 2018 was when I looked for it, and for it to be on our work schedule for 2019. So they were issued with an invitation to come in and accepted the invitation, but then kept on postponing it.
One of these was a postponement in February where John Delaney had UEFA business, and that would have been on the opposite side of this story being revealed.
Yeah, and I think he said then the following month he couldn't come in because there was two internationals close together and that. So, I mean, we just kept pressing at the committee. But in fact, the timing of it, he probably pushed it into, for him, a more difficult place, because obviously Mark Tighe's excellent work would have opened up opened up that whole space. And he has, you know, he'd gone to the court and he said it was family, the family court. This had been, he was questioning that, and it was quite interesting. And the Sunday Times backed him in that injunction. It was quite interesting reading about that afterwards, that one of the things that was helpful in getting that injunction was, or not allowing the injunction, was the that they were going to appear in front of an Oireachtas committee, and it was seen as a public interest from the court's perspective, which was quite important.
When you, so this story comes out on Paddy's Day, it's a Sunday. Was there a time where you thought this is massive, or were you thinking, I mean, when you saw the story originally, did you think, God, this could be, this could blow up?
I just thought it was only a question of time before it would blow up, because there was a lot of things about the finances. Like, there was one year, and I think it was 2017, where they had a significant, like, surplus that was on, that was re, it ended up being a deficit of almost a similar amount. I know there was, later on, there was a revenue audit, and I knew there was, you know, there was discontent within the organisation. There was actually plenty of people talking to us once there was any kind of a discussion. Mm. So, like, there was quite a bit of material that we were concerned about and trying to work through.
And the day before the FAI appeared at the Oireachtas Committee, Sport Ireland announced that they had pulled their funding. Were you thinking that this is, like, was there a part of you that was going, is there a way out of this for Irish football? Like,
yeah, I mean, I think myself and indeed others said at the time that the intention was to get the FAI into good shape, and there was a serious problem there. And that would have been a very significant amount for Sport Ireland to have, like, I mean, the FAI would have been funded mainly not out of Oireachtas funds. It would have, you know, there would have been all sorts of other income streams. But there hadn't been, there'd been a few very lean years. But it seemed that they were cutting back on the wrong things, and that's what we were hearing, that they were cutting back on the wrong things, like, you know, the you know, emerging young players, both male and female. But everything was being cut back. But there was an accumulation of things, and that 100,000 was a very significant one, and the fact that he had gone to the trouble of seeking an injunction, I think was probably as big a story as the 100,000.
This came at a time when football fans were generally quite upset at the state of Irish football. The week after the story came out, you had the move of John Delaney from chief executive to executive vice president. That was announced as the Ireland team was flying back from Gibraltar. And then a couple of days later, you had the tennis ball protest at the Georgia game. Were people onto your office? This is one thing that we often ask TDs about, kind of the temperature of the public at the time. Were people contacting your office and saying, look, you guys need to put the hammer down on the FAI here?
It wouldn't have been like an email storm or anything like that, but it would have been people who would have been involved or had an interest in soccer, and an interest in it being run well, that would have been expressing concerns, and people talking to you, like, from different parts of the country, you know, about their concerns. But I mean, that had been going on for years. You know, anyone that was in any way interested would be aware that some of the carry-on at, you know, tickets, and there was all sorts of things that were always kind of always on the go in terms of the way it was being run, and that it was really, you know, the organisation, the face of the organisation was John Delaney rather than, if you like, the football team. He was bigger than the organisation almost, and there was a similarity in relation to that and Pat Hickey in that, you know, I am football, if you like, you know.
So you eventually get him in the 10th of April 2019. We're going to have a clip of his opening statement and then your first interaction with him.
On Tuesday the 25th of April 2017, We had an internal finance meeting at the FAI. This meeting was attended by our Director of Finance, Eamon Breen, our Financial Controller, Yvonne Tong, and myself as CEO. I was advised at this meeting that if all cheques and FAI bank transfers issued to third parties at that time were presented for payment, that the FAI would exceed its overdraft limit of 1.5 million on its bank accounts, which were held with Bank of Ireland. At the meeting, I expressed concern and surprise as to how the FAI could have arrived at this position. I recall thinking at the time, if I'd been approached even a few days earlier, I may have been able to better address this issue. I asked if any funds were due to the FAI which could resolve the matter. I was informed that there was nothing due imminently that could be confirmed at that stage. As the matter was pressing, and we only had a few hours to resolve the potential issues that would arise if the bank overdraft limit was exceeded, as a precautionary measure and to assist the FAI, I wrote a cheque for €100,000 from my personal account to the FAI. This cheque was made payable to the FAI. I gave it to our Director of Finance, Eamon Breen, telling him to only lodge the cheque if it became clear that the bank overdraft was going to be exceeded.
Just to clear one thing up, Mr. Delaney, you said you recall asking the Director of Finance, did the FAI have any reporting or disclosure obligations arising out of the €100,000 payment? Can you recall the response to that?
I've made it clear in my statement, Deputy Murphy, that I can't add any further to that at this given stage, given the various investigations that are taking place.
Your reaction in that clip is one that would... It's fair to say you were unimpressed by John Delaney's strategy.
I think everyone was unimpressed. He said that he would only answer questions in relation to his new role as Executive Vice President, but nothing else. And he brought a lawyer in himself. And I asked afterwards whether or not that lawyer represented John Delaney or represented the FAI, and I was told that that the lawyer represented John Delaney. I can't imagine that the people from the board of the FAI would have been impressed by that either, and it was wholly unsatisfactory. And to be honest with you, it was like we had planned questions to ask John Delaney, and then you had to kind of go sideways on the issue, you know.
For reference and for context, in your experience as a TD, how often do people bring legal counsel to Oireachtas committees?
They don't. And it wasn't just any legal counsel. He referenced the Supreme Court case that had been taken in relation to Angela Cairns, and he wanted us to treat him as a witness that wasn't, you know, he wanted us to treat him as a witness in that context, if you like. The lawyer that he brought in was somebody who had worked on the Angela Cairns case. So, like, he was making a very clear statement in relation to...
This was a shot across the bows to the committee.
Yeah, it was, you know, that I'm kind of controlling this and I'll answer I'm comfortable answering, you know, and you're not going to push me any further. And I've brought in some firepower to make sure that you won't. And he kept on talking about how he was working in the interest of the FAI, and including the 100,000. That certainly didn't feel like he was working in the interest of football.
So the day itself starts off, you guys on the committee go into the private session, and then the FAI arrives. Donald Conway, the chairman, has brought a report, a Grant Thornton report, on the €100,000 loan, and then John Delaney finally furnishes his opening statement. So you have to adjourn for an hour so that the committee members can read these. What are you thinking at this point? Are you thinking that, like, this is a bit all over the place, or is it a calculated strategy to put the committee on the back foot?
See, I think it wasn't the FAI that was calculating the strategy, it was John Delaney, and that was very clear, because he was the one that had brought the lawyers. It wasn't the FAI. But it was the whole thing then like, we really wanted to talk to John Delaney as the CEO. And of course, he was no longer in that position. And it would only, he would only limit what he would talk to us about, which wasn't the issue that we wanted to talk to him about. And it wasn't the reason why he was invited in, why he was invited in the first instance. But the then when it went on to the FAI, there were other issues, like, for example, the treasurer didn't know that there was wasn't made aware of the 100,000 loan, wasn't made aware of how precarious the position of the association was, and it was very precarious in 2017. It actually got worse as the year went on, but like we didn't. He didn't know, and then later on he was questioned. I think it was Jonathan O'Brien from Sinn Féin asked him how many bank accounts, and he said it was one bank account, and
it turns out that
there was multiplicity of bank accounts. It was a range of different things like that. That, you know, the whole thing was very unsatisfactory.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Do you feel that the FAI were in any way, the FAI board was in any way prepared for this? It felt, I mean, watching it back in preparation for this podcast, it felt like often they would normally just defer those questions to John Delaney, and because he had relied on this strategy of only referring to his opening statement, that there was just a lot of answers that you guys weren't able to get because the board didn't know the answers.
Yeah, like the board, my interpretation of the board was that it was very passive, that it would do really what he wanted it to do, that all he was looking for the board to do was to give him a rubber stamp for this, that and the other. And we were all aware that he was, like, you know, he would go around various clubs and, you know, the grants would be pulled out, and that was kind of, and he seemed to have, you know, the authority to do that under a certain threshold. I think it was about 5,000, and it was, you know, that he seemed to have all of the power, if you like, and that was part of the reason why the absence of independent members on the board to kind of, you know, to really ask questions was glaring. And like, that was part of the Genesis report going way back, but it was never implemented, if you like. But it was clear that John Delaney really controlled the board, and a lot of them in positions that were supposed to have responsibility didn't seem to know how the organisation was functioning. So it looked dysfunctional, it felt dysfunctional, and everything about it was dysfunctional, as we saw later on.
It wasn't just the board that John Delaney kind of had a hold over. He seemed to convince an awful lot of people across, and to this day, across football in Ireland. And you mentioned that kind of that grand thing. There's a lot of people across Irish football who were able, or I suppose, fell in behind John Delaney's vision, or fell in behind John Delaney because he controlled the purse strings of the FAI. Dennis O'Brien in the John the Baptist documentary once said that John Delaney is a collage of people. What version of John Delaney did you guys get that day?
Well, I kind of had my own impression of him before he came in, that he was politicking the whole time. Like he played the, you know, the football, the, you know, the schoolboy section off against, if you like, the League of Ireland section. He always had his majority. That's what it looked like to me, and that's what allowed him to do what he did. And he was quite derogatory about League of Ireland, and then he'd even come out and say that was, you know, he was kind of reared on League of Ireland, if you like, and it just didn't stack up. I don't know, he probably was a multiplicity of things, but the one thing all of this was about John Delaney. It for me, he wasn't acting in the interest of the association by playing one off against the other and not having an effective board. But I thought he made sure that that was the way things were, so that he had the freedom to act the way he did.
The day itself was an absolute marathon session for an Oireachtas committee. What do you think was actually achieved that day?
I think the very fact that I think it really kind of showed just how dysfunctional things were. The fact that people didn't know things they were supposed to know, that were in positions or supposed to be in positions of authority. It was clear that there was a really significant issue with how the association was being governed. And that was having knock-on consequences in the decisions that they were making. And cutting back on things, as I say, like the critical things were being cut back on. And then it emerged kind of later on other things like the payment for, you know, for a house, the rent on an expensive property and things like that. You were wondering, it was on the edge the whole time, and we'd been told I don't know how many occasions that football was going to be the Aviva Stadium. It was going to be debt free by 2020, and you were saying, God, they're hardly able to manage to get from, you know, one month to the next, and you know it just was very precarious.
Mm. Not everyone who joined the committee that day was as critical of John Delaney as you are. We have a clip.
At the end of this month, Mr. Delaney is to come to Castle Island AFC to open the new George O'Callaghan Park. 45 years they wanted for this park to be there. And what I'm reliably told, that if it wasn't for John Delaney and the FAI, that park wouldn't be being opened at the end of this month. You will be most welcome to Kerry. You will get what I would call the mother of all welcomes when you come to Kerry, because your reputation and your respectability will precede you down the road before you land, and we will be there to welcome you. Okay. And all I can say is that, okay, when it comes to the accountancy practices, Chairman, and I'm sure you appreciate this, many of us in business who have to do certain things at certain times. During the recession, people bailed out their own small businesses. They did different things that they had to do to try and be of help and assistance. Point. And if you're guilty of anything, you're guilty of trying to help an association in the best way you saw fit at that time. That's all you stand in my book.
Deputy O'Brien, you have 3 minutes.
So, as you heard there, not all TDs were unimpressed with Mr. Delaney. You've Michael Healy-Ray. The TD for Kerry welcoming him down to open a new facility. Were you surprised that any TD was willing to go in and openly support somebody who had brought their own legal counsel, who was relying on their opening statement, and who had kind of left their board, at sea in this scenario?
Look, it probably reinforced exactly what was going on, that there were... You know, I mean, you've got to remember the Munster component would have come in here, and before him, his father would have been, I think, chair of that whole section, and there would have been very generous to particular clubs, and he would have been particularly generous to particular clubs, and I think that was really reinforcing the point, there's no doubt that it was infuriating for somebody to come in, given how things were at the time, but it was you could really understand it because it was more or less demonstrating just how the parts of the organisation were being played off against other parts, and that there was, you know, and grants and things were being used for that. And I think that may well have been the case with the association in Kerry.
The follow-on to that clip is Ruth Coppinger interjecting and suggesting that members of the members of the Oireachtas who weren't members of the committee probably shouldn't have been allowed in to give what she called a statement while there was still questioning going on. Yourself and Jonathan O'Brien and Imelda Munster and others were still kind of probing away at the substantive issues. She complained at the time, and her Michael Healy-Ray had a bit of a set too. She called them impossible at the end. But did you think on the politics end of it that it was right that non-members of the committee were allowed in while questioning was still going on?
Yeah, look, the thing about it is the rules are not going to change. They're the rules irrespective of, you know, of whether it was that particular meeting or other meetings of the Oireachtas, and they wouldn't have changed. They wouldn't have changed for that particular committee meeting. So what normally happens is that individual people are brought in, the members of the committee are brought in first, and only after they have finished will non-members be given the opportunity to speak. And that's what happened at that particular committee meeting. It was no different to any other committee meeting. I do think Michael Healy-Ray really showed himself badly at that. But I thought the committee overall actually worked quite well, in that there was a range of different questions asked, and I think most people tried to stay focused on what the meeting was supposed to be about. Just because, I mean, Michael Healy-Ray most certainly didn't, but I think that just really showed the way the organisation was being run.
Do you think that without the Oireachtas committee, things would have proceeded the way they did? As we went forward, John Delaney stepped down because of the reviews, and then by September he was gone. Do you think without that sitting, John Delaney maybe survives this?
I think it was coming to that, and it was just, in many ways, it kind of helped it on, and it certainly put the issue right onto the front page. This whole of the newspapers, where sport really should be on the back page. I think there were a range of different things, but they had a huge black hole in terms of their finances anyway, and that emerged later on. And I think that shocked people, the extent of it was certainly well in excess of 55 million or somewhere in the round, in the regions, that was certainly over 50 million. The Sport Ireland had initiated the report by the Cozy report, and that came back, and it showed that the money that was allocated from Sport Ireland was properly spent, but the report then was sent to the Guards. Then there was the Mazars report. The Grant Thornton one was the one that was internal to the organisation. Then there was the Jonathan Hill report, which was really, I thought, about only about, you know, some changes to the structure of the organisation, that I felt it was primarily about making a role for John Delaney as executive vice president, so as that they would be able to maintain the position on the UEFA board. But as we know, then within not too many months afterwards that he resigned from the FAI. But I think he walked away by
September. You've touched on some of the reports that were done in the interim. This is only 3 years ago. You also had Deloitte saying that there was that the FAI hadn't kept proper accounting records, and then eventually John Delaney steps down in this September. Do you think that's 3 years? That's a lot of reports. It's a lot of words put to paper about the governance and the state of Irish football. Do you think sitting here in 2023, has much changed?
First of all, interestingly, the same accountants, and I think it was Deloitte for about more than 20 years, which shows poor practice anyway. And it's surprising that some of these things didn't emerge in advance and weren't nipped in the bud in advance. These kind of things will change slowly. We always expected that there would be outworkings from those reports. Some of those outworkings were, for example, the Office of Director of Corporate Enforcement, which is now the Corporate Enforcement Agency. That would be the more serious of the investigations, and there would have been a challenge in the courts in relation to a very large number of emails that Mr. Delaney was saying should be they should be privileged. The court only recently ruled on that, and they are now accessible. So I expect that the Corporate Enforcement Agency will get on with the work, in relation to that. But that's the more serious one. The revenue audit was another thing that happened in 2019, and it was a significant amount of money had to be paid to revenue. So I think there's those kind of outworkings that will be constantly in the paper until you get to the other side of all those and you put them behind the organisation.
You don't think we're at the other side of
We're not at the other side of it yet, because the corporate enforcement agency has been delayed in doing their work because of some of the court interventions. But I do think, and we've had, of course, COVID in the meantime, which obviously had an impact on everything. But I think we're starting to see signs of life in terms of, you know, the numbers of people attending League of Ireland, for example, is way up, which is great to see. And I think at the grassroots level, you're seeing, you know, a lot of, we've seen the women's side of things dramatically improved. Some of that's got to do with, you know, even things like the gesture in relation to making sure that men and women are paid equally when they're, you know, playing at international level. And I think it's easier to get sponsorship for the women's game. You're starting to see things like that changing. I think it'll take some time before we see it really see a healthy football association. And I would argue, when, you know, there's an underinvestment, and has been for the amount of people that participate, but you can only invest in an organisation that you're fully confident in, and it was necessary for that to happen for almost, you know, it had to be brought down to really rebuild, if you like. And John Delaney is the one that brought it down, really, in my opinion, with the way the organisation was run and the extent of control that he more or less had over the organisation, and how he made sure that he had that control, which shows that if you don't govern an organisation properly, you can end up with you know, detrimental consequences. And I think that's part of what happened. But I do see a good future for football in Ireland, and as I say, I think people are coming back in numbers, and that's one of the things I think that has been very good news this year.
Brilliant. Look, Catherine Murphy, thanks so much for joining us today. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
This podcast was produced by Daniel McConnell and myself, Paul Hosford. Join us next time for another episode of Let Me Tell You. Bye for now.
On Formative, middle school kids from New York City public schools interview a phenomenal collection of grown-ups.
Me, like, I don't know what I want to do.
You don't have to have all the answers.
I feel like a lot of people's favorite topics are, like, interest in their life.
That is a really good answer.
The podcast where the leaders of today are interviewed by leaders of tomorrow. Listen now at newyorkedge.org/formative or wherever you get your podcasts.